The scripture this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 12, and it's the reading from the Common English Bible. These words that I am commanding you today must always be on your minds. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are sitting around your house and when you are out and about, when you are lying down and when you are getting up. Tie them on your hand as a sign. They should be on your forehead as a symbol. Write them on your houses' door frames and on your city's gates. Now, once the Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to you, a land that will be full of large and wonderful towns that you didn't build, houses stocked with all kinds of goods that you didn't stock, cisterns that you didn't make, vineyards and olive trees that you didn't plant, and you eat and get stuffed. Watch yourself. Don't forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery.
This past 2 weeks, it seems like I've seen more of Scott Fippinger than I care to see. And it's not that I don't like Scott, but I've seen a whole lot of him that I'm tired of seeing him for a while. And this kind of made me think about something. There was this man from my hometown that he was very wealthy. And he was convinced that he wanted to take his wealth with him. So he was going to prove to the world that he was going to take his wealth with him. So he found three of his friends, a doctor, a lawyer, and a preacher. He called each of them to his house and he said, "Here's $100,000. And upon my death, I want you to return this money to my coffin." Well, the old guy finally died. The three friends gather. Each one of them places an envelope inside the coffin. As they step back, the doctor looks over and goes, "Guys, I've got something to admit. $100,000 is a lot of money. So I took $70,000 of it and gave it to the university to start this cancer research program in his name. So I've only got $30,000 I put in there." And the lawyer, surprisingly enough, he owned up. He said, "Well, since you're being honest, I ought to be honest too. The school I graduated from, they needed more law books. So I took that $100,000 and I spent $50,000 of it on law books. I only put $50,000 in the coffin." And the preacher stood there and he said, "I'm ashamed of all of you. You are my friends." He was our friend. We promised him we would do something. That's why I made my check out for $100,000. Today, we start off stewardship. We start off building a firm foundation. The opportunity to really make a difference in the life of the church. So as I sat around, I was really thinking about it, and I came across a guy that I heard years ago. His name's Steve White, and he has a video on YouTube that I want you to really watch. You're going to have to pay attention because Steve, he doesn't talk slow. He talks pretty fast. So really pay attention to him.
The world's population is approximately 7 billion. This is 14 billion hands and 140 billion fingers. But there is only one fingerprint like yours. As insignificant as you may often feel in this big world, the world is desperate. The world is thirsty for your fingerprint. Leave your mark. This world is crying for individuals to stand up and take their rightful place. This world needs people who will respond to their calling. This world needs people who are fearless. What good is it if we're all gifted and everyone's got a talent and we sit on them? What good is it if we've got ability that just is disabled by fear, paralyzed by procrastination? This world is looking for people who are bold, courageous, people who don't care about their ego, their image, or being liked. They're ready to face any types of battle. They're willing to be afflicted for the sake of their purpose. This world is looking for people who won't back down when things get hard. This world is looking for people who will stand up for what they believe in, people who will die for their beliefs. This world is looking for people who don't just talk the talk, but they're willing to walk the walk. This world is looking for people who can be faithful to their calling. This world is looking for people who stand in their place. This world is looking for people to not be liked. This world is looking for people who can give from the abundance of their heart because the overwhelming feeling of love is just too much and it saturates everything within their being. This world is looking for peace. This world is looking for people to stand up and say, yes, I was knocked down, I was bruised, I was beaten, I was knocked around, I was trampled on, but here I stand. This world is looking for people who will run against the crowd, who will run in the fire. This world is looking for people who will stay in their lane regardless of standing alone. They reflect something bigger, something deeper, something more significant than their own material world. This world is looking for someone who will not just live a dream but create a reality. This world is looking for not chasers of dreams but leaders of purpose. This world is looking for someone not necessarily black or white, not tall or short or male or female, sex doesn't even come into it. This world is looking for someone who is original. This world wants authenticity. This world wants something that's new, something that's not been created before. This world is looking for someone to stand in the gap and say, hey, it's my time. This world is looking for someone to say, I'm not going to be the next somebody else. I'm going to be the next me. In fact, the only me, the first me, and the only one of me that there will ever be. You are not just here for fun. Enough is enough. It's time to turn your process into a promise. It's time to fulfill your destiny. It's time to get off that couch. It's time to stop being lazy. It's time to stop making excuses. It's time to be who you were called to be. Today is the day that you awake. Today is the day that you arise. What will you leave behind? What will your legacy be? Today is the first day of your legacy. The world needs you.
14 billion people. 14 billion fingerprints. Different fingerprints that are here among us. Fingerprints that have touched anything and everything this world has to offer are there. Think of the fingerprints that went before us in Christianity. Think of the suffering that they endured. Think of the times that they struggled and they fought to be able to not have to stand there with a stick and draw half of a fish in the sand. Just so they could live. Think about the opportunities that you have in your life right now. And I'm not talking faith-based opportunities. I'm talking opportunities in general. You own businesses, many of you. Many of you are educators. Many of you are factory workers. Many of you are homemakers. Many of you are people of God. You have opportunities to stand up and be part of something bigger than you. But we stand back and we go, I'm not blessed enough. We live in a society here in the United States that we can't ever have enough. We've got to have more than enough because we deserve it. It's ours. We come in, we take, we gobble up, we claim it as our own, but we don't stand back and realize that somebody before us put the fingerprints on that shovel that broke the foundation that built this building. We don't think about the fingerprints of the person that swung the axe and took the trees down to make the roads along the highways. We don't think about the person who stood out there in the pouring rain holding a Bible over someone's grave. We don't think about those things. In society today, we live in a me society. In a me society that dictates, well, what about me? I tease my wife all the time about being narcissistic. All the time. Many of you that have been around us know that that's my favorite thing to say. Are you a narcissist? And she looks at me and she tells me to shut up and I'm called an idiot and a few other things. And then we move on. But I think all of us have these narcissistic tendencies, don't we? We allow ourselves to be the primary focus of anything we're doing. How is this going to benefit me? How am I going to shine the best? Churches are notorious for that. And if I step on your toes right now, just go ahead and realize this is your apology. I'm sorry. Churches all across the world, we leave our legacy to them. Many times we take what we amassed in fortunes because we don't have any descendants to give it to, and we give it to the church. We give it to the church for the sole purpose of saying, can you put a plaque on that? I need folks to know that I was here. Put that plaque out there. Put it on display. And if, heaven forbid, whatever we gave to the church wears out and we have to get rid of it, then we have to go find you, your descendants, and say, hey, you know that chair you gave us back in 1932? It wore out. Can we throw it away? And people get offended. It's not about the plaque. It's about the opportunity of what the plaque does. We've got to learn to give to God the best we have. Not what's left over that we can't give someone else. Many years ago, I heard a preacher use this sermon. What's $20 to you? And he started talking about the $20 to you. And he realized that his congregation of 500 broke down to each person in attendance on Sunday morning gave $20 to the church. God asked for 10%. And we find ways to figure out that we can change that around. God says 10% of everything you have. Not the leftover 10%, the first 10%. If you take that first 10% out of anything and everything you have and you give it to God first, you're going to realize that the other 90% is going to be so blessed that you're not going to know what to do with the abundance. You're not going to miss that first 10% because it's the first 10% you give to God and realize that His kingdom needs it more. The Methodist Church, we have this crazy thing called apportionments, and nobody really understands those, what they do and what they're for. Apportionments go to pay for relief in Haiti, relief of suffering in Ethiopia. Imagine no malaria. For all of us that have children, could we imagine what it would be like if someday a doctor walked up to us and said, your two-year-old is dying because they have malaria? It'd make it real tough for us to stand there and eat our donut and drink our coffee on Sunday morning to realize that a two-year-old died so we could have an extra cup of coffee. $10 for Imagine No Malaria buys not only a net that they place over their bed to protect them from the mosquitoes, but it also pays for education to teach the people in the villages that are so remote that what the harm of standing water can do to them. For those of us that don't really reach out to the other parts of the world because, well, we got to take care of home first, realize that home can suffer that same kind of disease, that same kind of hurt. Our apportionments go to fund the Midwest Food Distribution Center where they feed over 1 million people a year people that are suffering from floods, people that are suffering from natural disasters. That's what your apportionment dollars are going for. It's not going for the new parsonage. It's not going for, you know, new Bibles. It's not going for new carpet in the sanctuary, new lights. It's not going for that. The apportionments go for things outside these walls. We are challenged many, many times to realize that God cannot be put inside of a box and placed on a shelf for us to take out and open up and say, "Hi, God, how you doing? Okay, we're done with you at 10:35 or 11 o'clock or 11:30 and place him back on the shelf and I'll see you next Sunday, God." We've got to open up the world of God to the outside world. In that same tune, I'm going to ask Dean this question right off the top of his head. Dean, what's our average electric bill in the summer, in the wintertime around here? $900 a month, folks. $900 a month. Linda, off the top of your head, what's the average weekly giving? $1,800, $1,900? So each week, we cover the electric bill one time. That's not counting the ministry things we pay for, the salaries we have to cover, the operation of the office, the telephones, things that break, things that need to be replaced. There's a lot of bills that go on. It's times like that that we have to realize, is $20 just enough? Simple math, I'm not a mathematician by no means. Dale is. I've seen him during the children's moments teach the kids the most important book in the world is a math book. But simple math. If you have a take-home pay of $1,000 a week, 10% is $100, folks. It's not 20. It's 100. Now, I know we all have special situations that we all deal with, suffering that we all have. We have overspenditures in our own homes. We got to realize that God asked us in the Bible, in Scripture, these exact words. You live in homes that you didn't build. You eat from plants that you did not grow. You drink from cisterns that you did not develop. Somebody before you did. I want you to give me back your first 10% is what God tells us. And we like to take that and tell God, okay, God, I'm going to give you 10% back of my talents. So I'm going to do that easy math. I'm going to give you 2% of that, God, because, well, I teach kids all week long. I sure don't want to be a Sunday school teacher on Sunday. God, I work construction all week long. I sure don't want to come up to the church and fix a door that's falling off the hinges. We have to realize talents and tithes, gifts and treasures. We got to give it back to God. Got like a little guy snores. We got to give it back completely to God. And then realize what his kingdom can bless. I know it's a hard-hitting sermon and everybody goes, oh no, here comes the preacher talking about money again. I'm not talking about money. It's God that's talking about money. Those that have been through Bob's Crown Financial knows how many pieces of scripture in the Bible that can concern finances and what we need to do with those finances. It's an excellent class to set through and realize that if we give back to God to start, he tends to bless us again abundantly. He gave us the ultimate gift in the form of his son. He didn't say, community of believers, I'm going to give you 10% of my son. I'm going to give you 100% of my son. 100% of my son to come and save you so that someday you can walk the streets of heaven with me. It's not the preacher asking. It's God calling you to firm up your foundation for you as a community of believers to start a legacy and realize that when this blessing happens, you're giving back your 10% already so that those that occupy these seats after you can see this meal laid out before them also. Please join me in Holy Communion.